Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Shanice Lewis Show, the number one podcast for plus-size women. With your host, the queen of curvy conversation, Shanice Lewis.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Shanice Lewis. Today is Monday, April 10th, 2023. Make sure you're following this show's social media pages on Facebook at The Shanice Lewis Show and on Instagram and Twitter at Shanice Show. And make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast provider and never miss a show. Today, we have a very special guest. Clarkeisha Kent is a Nigerian-American writer, culture critic, former columnist, and author of Fat Off, Fat On, a Big Bitch Manifesto, committed to telling inclusive stories via unique viewpoints from nay infancy. She is fascinated with using storytelling and cultural criticism not as a way to overcome or transcend her unique identities as a fat, bisexual, disabled, Black African woman, but as a way to explore them, celebrate them, affirm them, and most importantly, normalize them and make the world safe enough for people who share them to exist. As a University of Chicago graduate with a BA in Cinema and Media Studies and English, she brings with her over 8 years of pop culture analysis, 4 years of film theology training, and a healthy appetite for change. Her writing has been featured in outlets like Entertainment Weekly, Essence, Gal Dem, Paper, BET, HuffPost, MTV News, The Root, and more. She is also the creator of the Kent Test and the co-creator of the Kelly and Kat Test, both of which are media litmus tests designed to elevate the quality of representation that exists for Black women, women of color, and fat Black women, respectively. Currently, Kent is working on a novel about a Black female outlaw and a TV comedy pilot about an immoral familial. We're so excited to have her on the show. Let's welcome Clarkeisha.
Thank you so much.
Hi. Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
So you got it going on.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been busy. I've been busy, girl.
So I'm so excited to talk to you. You got a new book out, but, you know, for some of my listeners that may not be familiar with you and all the fabulous stuff you've done, I want to start from the beginning.
Yes, ma'am.
So tell us about your upbringing, because you had a traumatic childhood, right?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of us do. We just don't talk about it as much. But yes, ma'am, I did. You know, I am the child of Nigerian immigrants. So for a lot of your listeners who probably have shared that experience, they probably know that it's always very complicated because you respect the struggle that your parents went through to get here, right? But what I don't respect is the fact that they took out a lot of that, like, frustration and anger at the process out on, you know, me, you know, and my other siblings, their kids, right? So that's kind of where everything starts. And then, you know, a lot of the things that I talk about in the book, like colorism, fatphobia, all of that starts within that house, too. So they're taking out all these frustrations out on, you know, me as a child and my other siblings. But even the way they're doing it is very, I would say, white supremacist centered. how else would you describe, you know, like things like colorism and fatphobia and texturism? So that's kind of what was happening. And basically what happened is I used writing as a way to escape / prepare my escape to the University of Chicago. So once I was able to leave my parents' house, you know, things weren't perfect, but it really gave me a new perspective, and I could think clearly, right, because I'm not in that chaos anymore.
Right.
So that's really, like, the origins of what happened, and because I was able to finally leave to Chicago, I essentially got away. That's another reason Chicago really has a special place in my heart, because I essentially was able to really explore myself as a person and, you know, all my identities there. So yeah, I really, really do love that city. It's very transformative for me.
So was school a special place for you where you discovered you had the ability to write so well?
Yes, yes. I actually credit me even sticking with writing with one of my Black English teachers. As a lot of us know, coming across a Black teacher, period, depending on where you're located in this country, can be really tough. So the fact that I was able to meet one who was, you know, also a woman, also Black, was a big deal. And I remember she had graded one of my papers, and she was like, "This is really good. Are you going to keep doing this?" And I was like, I don't know. So she like really pushed me. So I started developing my writing then, like seriously. I think I would have been in seventh grade. So I would have been like 12. I had started doing other kind of writing before then, but she like really pushed me to continue like on the, you know, the fictional film path too. And obviously I did face some opposition from my family. Once again, right. Some of your listeners, if they're Nigerian, they know that a lot of our parents just want us to do medicine. If you have a very...
Well, that's African-American parents, too.
Right. But, you know, there's this subculture in Nigeria where it's super intense. So sometimes right. If your parent is flexible, they'll be like, okay, you can do law. And I'm like, okay, but that you do realize that only leaves me two career options, right?
Right.
So yeah, you know, myself and then my teachers kind of knew from a young age that like, hey, you know, I'm not very interested in medicine. So that was kind of a tug of war with my parents as well. But yeah, I do credit my teachers with really pushing me because I did not have that support at home. So it did have to come, you know, from outside the home.
So you went forward with it. And how long have you been a professional writer now?
Professional. Okay, so technically I've been like writing on, I would say, the internet is when I really started, since 2013. But if I'm doing like professional jobs with writing, I would say that that did not occur till 2016. So I would say we're just under, like, just under.
Okay, and then what have been some of your major accomplishments as a writer?
Definitely the book. Like, I have been trying to get the book done for years, because I knew I always wanted to write a book. So this is definitely the biggest one. The next one after that, like the second biggest one, would be the Kent test that I came up with for many, many years, especially as someone who did look at film in college. I was just really... If I'm being honest with you, Janice, I was really angered by the type of, like, media images that I see of Black women in particular. Calling them one-dimensional is so generous, because what I would say is that, like, everybody, doesn't matter who, everybody really sees us as, like, accessories to their life. And, you know, yeah, and that's really upsetting. So I, like, sat down. It started out with Equality for Her, but I sat down and I came up with the test and another guide because I was like, I'm actually really tired of this. So let me put on paper, you know, so you can see how they all be writing us in these shows, these movies, and how disgusting it is, you know. So I've over the last couple of years, I've actually heard from people like, oh, yeah, like, I really did not consider that until I saw that on the test. And I was like, I'm glad, you know, it's helpful. But, you know, maybe you should consider that, you know, these are human beings you're writing about, even if they're, what, fictional human beings, right? So,
right.
Yeah, that would be my next biggest thing, because I really, really wanted to illustrate how bad these things are, because, you know, some people like to be like, oh, it's just, you know, it's just TV, it's just this. No, because a lot of people, unfortunately, will take what they see, as we've seen, like, they'll take what they see and try to apply it to, you know, everyday life. So, yeah,
right.
Some people are taking these stereotypes, and they are, you know, treating actual people, you know, like this. So I'm like, you know, it just doesn't happen in a vacuum. You know, you have to constantly be, like, challenging what you see what you read, that kind of thing. So that would be my other biggest accomplishment.
And then you made a second test for the plus size.
Yes, I did. I co-created it with my wonderful, wonderful friend. Their name is Sydney Sky G. You can follow them on IG and also Twitter as Inflammatory Fat. But yeah, we actually were working on that for like a year. It came out this year in February, but we were working on it for like a year. And it started from a lot of frustration for Sydney with their kind of like what they saw happening with Kelly from Insecure. And then for me, there was a lot of frustration with the second season of Euphoria and how it treated Kat Hernandez. Because the first season, very controversial, but they gave her a arc that like did not revolve around her being once again like an accessory, you know, fat girl accessory to her thin friend. So the fact that the second season completely regressed that character, I was like, yeah, yikes. So we sat down and we came up with the test. It's a lot more rigorous than the Ken test. And we intended it to be that way, because there's a lot of just even passive fat phobia that pops up in media a lot. But people, you know, people don't pay attention because they themselves aren't fat. And you know how that goes. They're like, oh, since, you know, it doesn't apply to me, I don't have to pay attention. And I'm like, no, yes, you do. Yes, you do, because you are treating the fat people in your life like this, and someone needs to tell you why that's wrong. So,
absolutely. So have writers reached out to you and said they used your test and changed the script that they had written?
Yes. For the Kelly Kat test, is still a little early. I know some fat writers reached out to us and thanked us because they're going to be taking these into their rooms going forward. But for the Kent test, definitely. I had people, like even like some friends who, you know, they're grown now, so they're in classrooms, they're professors, they're professors and stuff, right? So they're like, yeah, like I took out your test and I was like talking to my students about it and da-da-da-da. And I was like, that's really awesome. I've even seen online too where some people have used it like in their dissertations and stuff, and I'm like, wow, that's awesome.
Oh, right.
Right.
That is
awesome. So, right. So, you know, it does have some reach, you know, quite as it kept. But, you know, I definitely want to get in a position where if I have some time in the future, like really start like actually grading some of these movies and TV shows myself. It's just been, you know, it's been a little hectic, so I haven't been able to do it as much, but I feel like it would also help to see it applied more. But, yeah, no, it's making its rounds.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, you write for a lot of mainstream publications. Are they receptive when you want to explore topics surrounding fat phobia?
Yes. Yes. Well, yeah. I've never really faced any opposition from any of these outlets to do so. But I've also had the, like, I've been blessed to, you know, encounter very good editors. Editors who know what they're talking about, editors that don't, like, edit your voice out of the piece. So I've been blessed in that way. So I can't speak to anyone else who might have, you know, a different experience because, you know, sometimes that happens. But I will say that because of my luck with editors, I haven't really faced any opposition with speaking on it.
Nice. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Tell us about your book. So the name of your book is Fat Off, Fat On, A Big Bitch Manifesto. Now, that's a name that's going
to
get attention.
So I want to shout out to my agent, Claire Draper, from the Vent Agency. They actually came up with that subtitle, A Big Bitch Manifesto, because the original subtitle was very long. It was supposed to be, like, kitschy, but it's very long. So we all kind of put our heads together, me, them, and my publisher. And Claire was like, what about Big Bitch Manifesto? Like, really punchy. And I was like, yeah, that sounds great. So that's how that came to be. So for the book in general, though, I would say the book is first and foremost my personal story about my life, told in, like, essentially self-contained chapters. So, like, each chapter has a particular theme, and then I talk about that theme and how it relates to my life.
But I would say, like, the overall point for me in terms of writing was to really show people what fat phobia looks like, you know, because not about, like, name calling or that kind of thing. It's because that's, like, an elementary understanding of fat phobia, right? Fat phobia is as sophisticated an oppressive system as racism, as misogyny, colorism, ableism, anything you can think of that's oppressive, fat phobia is there, and it's just as sophisticated, and it evolves just like these other systems, right? So I understand people don't like being talked at sometimes, so I was like, okay, so I'm just going to use my stories to, you know, deliver this message so you can see in real time how fat phobia is working in this particular sense. So I talked about it hand in hand with, like, colorism, how that works, right? Texturism. So, like, what happens when you're a fat person who either has long hair or has really short hair, like the complex things like that. So I wanted to tell all these stories to show people that this is how things shake out, if especially if you're fat and black. Like, I really wanted to focus on that experience because I feel like these other, like, body-related movements, they, you know, they tend to ignore our experience. You know, it's just like, you know, we're all fat and da-da-da. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm black. So that adds, you know, that adds
an
additional layer. And it's a layer that I'm not going to ignore or downplay for anyone else's comfort. So, you know, I really wanted to, you know, use my story to really show how that type of discrimination is applied to us. In particular.
Yeah, because a lot of times when plus size or body positivity goes mainstream, the face of the movement is a white woman.
Yep. I also wanted to talk about having eating disorder. That comes up in the book. So, you know, warning to anyone who's reading it, you know, just take your time with it. It is triggering, so take your time. But I also wanted to talk about that aspect for us as black women. Because when, you know, a lot of people hear eating disorder, what's the first thing that pops to their head? A thin white woman. That's
right.
The first thing that they think about. So I also wanted to talk about that aspect as well, you know, because as black women, we come up against so many beauty standards. Both, you know, intra-community beauty standards and, you know, outside, you know, community beauty standards. So I feel like we are in a unique position to talk about this issue, but people tend to ignore us, right, because we don't look like the typical person to have such a disorder. So I wanted to talk about that as well in my book. We're very, you know, we're very amazing and complex human beings, and, you know, I'm sick of people trying to put us in certain boxes, so...
And so you said you've been trying to write this book a long time. So did you have it written and you had to keep pitching it and keep submitting it to people, or did just the opportunity fall in your lap?
I would say the opportunity fell in my lap. So when I say I've been trying to write this for a while, I would say that the stories, you know, the stories have been in me for a minute. I will say that I initially was not going to write this memoir first. I had another book planned. It's that book in my bio about the black female outlaw. Really wanted to do a Western. And then my agent approached me. It's funny because they actually slid into my DMs back in 2018, 2019. And they're like, do you have an agent? And I was like, no. And then, you know, and then we, you know, we partnered up and everything. But initially I wanted to do the Western. And they were like, yes, but have you considered? So they pitched the memoir to me, and like I mentioned, I already had those stories kind of tucked away in my brain, but I hadn't kind of considered that I could put them in just one project, right? So they're like, how about we do this? You can get your feet wet in publishing, you know, get some name recognition out there, because trying to break into some of these niche genres can be really tough as a first-time author. So they kind of wanted me to go in with some type of name recognition when I end up doing the Western. So that's kind of how all the things came to be.
And so did you find this, writing this book, therapeutic in a way?
Yes. It was very difficult, but it was also very therapeutic.
as well. I am someone who processes by writing. So it's one of those things, like, I could have a couple ideas in my head, but until I really sit and write them down, I will immediately know that they're all connected. So that's kind of how I process. So writing these chapters down, both about, like, my life post dealing with my family, and then my life before leaving my family, was very illuminating, because there are a lot of things that I hadn't considered related that end up being very much interconnected. And it kind of explained, like, everything that went down. It didn't excuse it. I still didn't deserve any of that. But, you know, writing it down started connecting some very important dots. So that kind of helped me put a lot of stuff to bed so I can move on.
And where all can this book be purchased?
Excellent question. So the main purchasing point is my publisher, so feministpress.org. My book is featured there right now. Basically, anywhere that's really indie, I would encourage. So The Strand is a bookstore in New York. That's a good one. And then you have a Greenlight. So always prioritize, like, the indie bookshops first. And then if you can't find it, you can do, like, the Amazons and the Walmarts and the Barnes & Noble. But, yeah.
Got it. So, you know, this podcast is geared towards plus-size women. So what would you say to somebody that is listening and they're like, you know, I have a story to tell, you know, and I'm Black and I'm big, but I don't think nobody would care?
I would say tell that story anyway. I feel like people, they love to ignore us because they're projecting, like, that strong Black woman stereotype on us, but, like, times 10, you know, because we're fat women, right? So we're just expected to either be super miserable all the time about our bodies or, like, you know, super positive, like, nothing can get us down, everything is awesome. Like, they're expecting just those two modes out of us. So always tell your story, because you're a complex human being. And your story deserves to be told. And no one can tell your story as good as, you know, you. So I would say, you know, screw whoever. Tell that story. Even if you're only talking technically to two people, go ahead and tell it. Because it'll be very, very illuminating for you as well to kind of get that story out.
That's right. And I saw on your website, you have a book tour coming up. So you're about to hit the road.
Yeah, thank you. So since I'm indie, the tour is kind of a little disjointed. So it comes in kind of like waves. So I'll plan something with my PR team and my publisher, and then I'll put up like a whole list of events. So it does come in waves. But yes, I've been trying to make sure I get out there. I have plans to hopefully visit all of the states at one point. But yeah, the focus right now is on the coast. So yeah, I would sign up for the newsletter if anyone's interested on the type of events that are coming up. But I usually make sure that my website event page has all of those listed.
Yeah, when I saw it on your website, it looked exciting to me. I was like, she's doing big things. I was so proud.
Thank you so much.
And so, look, so I'm located in Louisiana, so the big city here will be in New Orleans. So if you ever do a book thing in New Orleans, I'm there.
Awesome. Awesome. New Orleans is definitely on my list of places to come to. It's a beautiful place. Be a sacred place.
So who are you looking to connect with and collaborate with in the future?
I definitely want to do something with Lizzo. Definitely. That's my girl. She's awesome. I would also say manifest to something with Megan at some point. I love Megan. She's lots of fun. I feel like we could do something fun together. That's also related to this, right? And then 1, 2, 3. And then somewhere in the distant future when I have more experience and, you know, I have some more age on me, definitely Beyonce. On my bucket list. On my bucket list for sure. On my bucket list.
Yes. Yes, well, it's definitely coming. So do you have anything else happening that we can be on the lookout for?
Let us see. I think my audiobook almost already came out, so that's that for now. if people are out in like LA in particular, I will be on one of the panels on the 23rd for their LA Times Festival of the Book. So I'm super excited for that.
That's big
so
time.
Right. Thank you. So if you're someone who loves those festivals, please come out. You know, I will try, you know, try to connect with as many people as I can. But yeah, that's what I would say is super big on the horizon. I'm still trying to put together my fall schedule. So once that's finalized, I'll post it on the website.
Awesome. Awesome. And so tell us your official website and social media pages.
Awesome. Thank you, Shanice. So my website is www.clarkeishakent.com. And then for socials, you can find me on Instagram at Clarkeisha Kent. And then I am on Twitter until the app explodes. I'm on Twitter at iWriteAllDay_. And then I'm also on Hive Social at Clarkeisha Kent as well.
Yeah, I saw you got a really big following on Twitter.
Yeah, it's, you know, I've been on there since 2010. People don't remember. They're like, oh, my God. And I'm like, yeah, over a decade.
Yeah, so that's awesome. So I'll definitely be following you on all of the platforms. And anything I can do to support anything you got going on, do not hesitate to reach out and ask me for whatever. I'm so happy for you. And representation matters, so when you win, I win.
Amen. Thank you so much. I truly appreciate it. And vice versa, whatever you need, I got you as well.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, and continued success, and we'll be in touch. Thank you again.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you to my guests for being on the show. Make sure you check out her book, Fat Off, Fat On, A Big Bitch Manifesto. I've been your host this evening, Shanice Lewis. Thank you for tuning in and supporting. Until next time, keep thriving in your curves and be blessed.
You've been listening to The Shanice Lewis Show. For more info about the show, visit ShaniceLewisShow.com.